What are you counting on? What are you counting on? This is the title message for this morning. Because whether we talk about building a building, solving a problem, writing a paper, we are starting on an assumption. We are relying on something. We base our thinking, our actions on something. So this is why I pose these questions to you, to me, to all of us today. What are you counting on? You know, we are during a pandemic season when so much is being tested, not just people's, you know, just in hospitals we are being tested, but we are tested psychologically, emotionally, relationally, family, community-wise, church-wise. We are being tested. And I also believe that it's an opportunity for us to take an inventory of our lives. And when we do this, the question is, a good question to start this inventory is this: what are we relying on? What are we counting on? I would like to read a passage from Scripture who helps us understand and put things in context for us. And it's from the book of Proverbs, written by Solomon, who was considered to be the wisest man who ever lived. And in Proverbs 3, verse 5, we find this admonition, this advice: trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. You know, basically says this: in life, as you approach life, and we have to face so many things, we have to face unknowns and known things, we have to go through routines and responsibilities and what we have to do, but also be ready for new challenges, like the whole humankind this year is dealing with this COVID issue. What are we counting on? What is the principle that is guiding our life? What is the main foundation, or what is the framework, the worldview that we are based on? And these verses that I read from Solomon basically tell us, do not lean on your own understanding. Do not rely. Do not count on you. Again, I'm not trying to say that we should see ourselves as very weak and as victims and worthy of nothing. That's not the point of this message, and it's not what Solomon is saying here. But what he is saying is that we should rely on the Lord. We should submit our plans in every regard, in every aspect of our life, not just in some aspects, because some people kind of have this idea. It's like, okay, God, well, thank you for helping me in life. I got a job. I have an education. I have some experience. I can manage some things, but only you can take me to heaven. In spiritual matters, I have to count on you. No, the best way to live life, the advice that we are receiving, that in every area of life, we should put God first, or the way that Jesus said, seek you first the kingdom. In every aspect of life, in every approach of life, to have this thing that, Lord, I do not lean on me. A few days ago, I was here at our building with Gabi, and we noticed that there was a problem. There was some water coming from somewhere, and it wasn't very clear to us where it is coming from. And I said, well, it looks like maybe from that area of the roof above the entrance. And Gabi, you know, he pulled out a ladder and he started climbing up. I was a little scared first because, you know, I wouldn't want to see Gabi fall, you know. But he worked with that ladder before, and he knew he can trust the ladder. He knew he can put it just like so, and he could lean it against the edge of the building, and he could climb up. Well, why? Obviously, he worked with that ladder before. So he had confidence that he can lean on it, that he can use it to get the job done. And this is kind of an illustration of how we try to do life, how we deal with life, how we approach life. We have experiences, we have understandings, we have knowledge. We are often tempted to believe, okay, I got what it takes. I can do this. I can pull up the ladder of my knowledge. I can pull up the ladder of my experience. I can pull up the ladder of the people that I know. I can do this, and I can figure it out. Yes, it's good to learn from experience. It's good to have a good toolbox. It's good to expand our toolbox. It's good to expand our knowledge. All of those things are good, but they're not good enough. They are necessary, but they're not sufficient. We need a trust in a higher power. We need to look at things from a greater perspective. And that's what it means to not lean on your own understanding, on your own perspective of things. You know, we see these days that so many people have conversations and they have different worldviews and they have different preferences. Whether we talk about, who is the better player in football or in basketball, or who would be better to be next president in Moldova, in America or somewhere else. What is the better way to handle the COVID? What is the better way to protect yourself and the family? Or what is the better way for the government to deal with things? And a lot of those things are based on certain understandings, on certain perspectives. And this is what Solomon is saying here, that do not lean on your own understanding, do not lean on your own perspective, because regardless of who you are and how much you know, it's not enough. Lean on God, recognize Him first, in all your ways submit, because that will make you, it'll be good for you, it'll be nourishment to your soul, to your body, to your inner person, and strength, it'll be health to you. Do not see yourself wise in your own eyes. It doesn't mean that you need to see yourself as stupid and dumb and unwise. It just means like, I need more wisdom. And we know that God is a giver of wisdom and rely on Him. Otherwise, we are left to rely on our own. Otherwise, we have to just try to figure things out on our own. We need to try to do things the way we can, the way we are used to do, on the information and the perspectives that we already gain. And sometimes they are not enough. We look in the book, in the Bible, and we see the story that one time God told Moses to speak to the rock and the rock will provide water for the people. But instead, because Moses was angry and frustrated, he decided to hit the rock like he did at another time. He used the rod that God gave him, so he relied on his understanding, on his perspective, on the way he used to do things, instead of obeying and trusting God. And we know the consequences of the choice that he made. So, again, the question to us is, what are we counting on? What are we relying on as we approach and as we deal with life in this season and in every season of life? And my recommendation and the perspective that I like to offer based on what we read in the book of Proverbs and in other places in scriptures, my recommendation would be that we live life counting on the promises of God. Living life on the promises of God. And so some of you may say, yeah, Christy, but tell me something deeper. Tell me something more relevant. It is very relevant. It is very deep. Because in order to lean not on your own perspective, on your own life, but rather on God, what we need this trust, this reliance on His promises. Because basically when you enter a contract, an understanding, a relationship with someone, it's based on certain assumptions, it's based on certain promises and commitments that each person or each side makes. And as we approach God, as we talk about living life counting on Him, we need to have a good and clear understanding on what we can count on God. What can we count on Him to be and do in our lives? Because many people and many Christians, they talk about a relationship with God, and especially we evangelicals, we talk about a personal relationship with God through Christ. But if we don't have a better understanding of the promises of God, then it's hard for us to really count on Him. But life is so much better when we can count on Him, when we can live on the promises of God. And yes, there are so many promises in the scriptures that we can look at, but I just want to look at a couple of them, and I want to draw some lessons for all of us today. And I want to, for example, look in the book of Psalms in chapter 9, starting with verse 7. And it says this. Proverbs sorry, Psalm, the book of Psalms, chapter 9, Psalm 9, starting in verse 7. It says, the Lord reigns forever. He has established his throne for judgment. He rules the world in righteousness and judges the people with equity. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Wow, what a refreshing promise. What a powerful passage of scripture. You know, I have often said during the last 7 or 8 months, since we're dealing with this pandemic, I said, hey, there are many unknowns. There are many things to be concerned. There are many things about the present day, about safety, about the future, about jobs, about life, about travel. But nevertheless, we know this thing, that God is still on the throne. It's still him on the throne. And nothing can take that away. And yes, some people may think that's simplistic. Some people may think that's old kind of thinking, that's obsolete, that is not up to date for our modern age, post-modern age, for the 21st century. That, you know, there are just physical and chemical principles at work, and they govern the universe. And while we respect that, we respect physics and science and true science, we know that there is somebody who laid these principles, who created and established the rules of science. And that is God who reigns forever. He has established his throne. He rules the world with righteousness. When it's equity, there is so much talk about righteousness and justice and equity these days. Everywhere, in North America, in Europe, in Romania, in the context of life, in the context of election, in the context of how to better deal with the rules of the pandemic, when it comes to friends, you know, we want equity, we want to be treated fair, but only God can really offer this, and it's a great promise that he does deal with us with equity, that he's a refuge, a place. What is a refuge? It's like when you go up to the mountains, there are places, cabins, refuges, where you can go in there and warm yourself, or you can be protected from the elements. You can make a tea and you can have some food and you'll be safe, you know. And people are looking for refuges, you know, as they go on trips in the mountains. And this is who God is for us, you know. He's a fortress, as in other places in the Bible. And we have this great promise here that he never forsakes those who seek him. And that's why we are often encouraged in the Bible to seek for God, to put him first, to look for his help, to ask for his wisdom, because he is not forsaken. So that's why I encourage you, I encourage myself, that we look to the promises of God and we look for him and we rely on his help. The Old Testament, you know, from the book of Genesis to the minor prophets, is full with many promises. And they talk to us and they share with us and they teach us about who God is. Yes, it is true that not all the promises we find in the Old Testament are valid for all of us today, because some of those are specific to a certain person, a certain context. And sometimes even some Christians, and even all of us Christians, we sometimes cherry pick something and we believe, okay, this is good for us. Yes, many promises, most promises are valid because they talk about who God is, and God is not changing. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's why he is solid. We can rely on that. At the same time, some of the promises have to do with a specific person or with a specific family. But even from those situations, we can learn something. We can look at things and we can understand who God is. We can understand the way he works with people, even during difficult situations. And oftentimes, some people have a very simplistic idea and they say, well, that was Old Testament. In New Testament, it's a whole new deal. Yes, the New Testament, it's a whole new deal, is a better deal. But the New Testament doesn't do away with everything from the Old Testament. That's, you know, Jesus said, I did not come to break the law, I came to fulfill the law. And in fact, I want us to look at a couple of verses from the New Testament that tell us something very important. They tell us the fact that Christ has confirmed the promises of the Old Testament, and they tell us that through Christ, in God, all his promises are yes and amen, which has meant yes and amen, so be it, okay? So let's look at a couple of verses in Romans 15:8, and then in 1 Corinthians 1:20. In Romans, you know, at the end of the book of Romans, we find the words through the great apostle Paul in chapter 15, and it talks about what God has accomplished. And it says this, accept one another, verse 7, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. This is how we bring praise to God, even today when we sing along with the team, and every time when we praise God in our own room, we praise Him because He accepted us, which means He opened a way. He reconnected us with God. That's the true meaning of what religion, of clear and holy religion should be, okay? And then he says, for I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs may be confirmed. So the promises that God made, you know, to Abraham, you know, to Isaac and others, all of them are true because Christ has confirmed them. And now, as Christians, we have been planted. We've been made part of the people of God. Even though those of us who do not come from any Jewish background, we have been planted into God's family. Basically, we've been connected in the same root, which means that the promises that God has made from the old times and Christ has confirmed, they are valid for us today. Okay? And also, let's look briefly at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Where it says this, it's 2 Corinthians 1:20, and it says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And through Him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Let's read this again. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Basically, these verses tell us that we can trust, we can rely on Christ, we can rely on those promises. They are valid. This is what we have to, we can take it to the bank. We can rely on it. Because if we do not rely on them, if we doubt them, then we are left to rely on ourselves. We are left to rely on what we know, on our own perspectives. And even while, again, some of them are good and we need to use our wisdom, we need to use our experience, those things are not enough. Are not enough. But then in God, in Christ, we know that we have these promises that we can rely on. You know, and the beautiful thing about God's promises and His character is that He's not like us. Praise God, He's not like me. Because you know how we human beings tend to be. Even when we have good intentions, even when we want to be reliable people, even when we are dedicated to families and friends and to our jobs and roles and callings, sometimes we falter. Sometimes we cannot keep up. Sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we fail. But the good thing about the promises of God is that even in bad or tough circumstances, we can still rely on His promises. Let's look at some verses in Scripture. One of my favorite, it's in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. And I'm so intrigued that in a book of the Bible called Lamentation, you know, crying, something about, you know, obviously not a good season, not an easy time, not a time of joy and happiness, but a time of testing, a time of trial, kind of like a time that we are going through in this year 2020. We find these great promises, you know, and we find these words in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for Him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. So this is what gave him hope. Even as Jeremiah was in the middle of very difficult circumstances, he knew that God's great love is not over. He knew that His compassion, His goodness is not finished. It has not come to an end. But they are being renewed every morning. Just as this morning, you know, the sun came up, even though it's a cloudy day, the sun is there. Even though today is a different day from our human experience, because it's the longest day of the year, you know, we have 25 hours here in Europe. Other, like in the States, they will change to daylight savings in a week or something like that. But the idea is that every day, God gives us a new portion of goodness. He renews his grace towards us. You know, we often live in a mentality of scarcity, in a mentality of lack, in the mentality of need. It's like we are afraid to give something because we might not have enough of it. Or if I give to someone, I may be left without it. But with God, he's not like that. He continues to pour his blessings, his goodness on us. And it's so important for us to understand, and we can count on this amazing goodness of God in every season. In the book of Psalm again, and we find so many promises. In Psalm 46, it says this: God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fell into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. It's almost like a description of a big tsunami. It's like a big earthquake and a tsunami. You know, this is what we find here. Even though we may go through something like this, there is a river whose streams may glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fail. God will help her at break of day. Again, at the break of day, God renews his goodness, his compassion towards us. That's why, you know, the psalmist has here, he's a refuge, he's a strength, he's an ever-present help. I love it, an ever-present help. Because, you know, we need God's help in so many ways. You know, we sang earlier about needing him, you know. And it's good to have this assurance, this blessed assurance that God is ever-present. The Almighty, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Hallelujah. So it's so crucial for us to understand that even in difficult circumstances, in tough circumstances, you know, some of you may go through something like that right now with your family, in something with, related to your job or some health reports. But even in those moments when our minds and our emotions are being tested and we don't know how we're going to manage, we don't know if we can pull it through another day, another week, we can still count on God because he promised and we can rely on that. You know, in the book of Psalm, again, we find that great psalm that is often quoted, Psalm 23. And part of it, the psalm says, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, you will be with me. Thy presence will be with me. So that's an amazing promise. You know, and even as we start this fall season, which is very different from any other season we lived, and, you know, so many of us are tired of reading the statistics about the COVID and the restrictions and implications. And it's so hard for us to make plans because we make plans and they keep changing. And we make other plans and they change. Even during times like this, it's amazing. And it's so important to understand that God has promised things to us. And his promises are yes and amen. And they are still valid. They are valid. You know, and there are so many promises. And I encourage you to take some time in today and in the days to follow to look in the Bible, to look to some of those promises, underline them, write them somewhere, write them on a piece of paper, write them somewhere in the mirror or by the mirror where you can see them and be reminded of them. I even encourage you to share them. It's like you can type some promises, you know, where you're following this broadcast, you know, on our page, in our groups. Why don't you share a promise or two that God has used to encourage you so others can see them? Or in your small group, you know, find ways. Have ways, Messenger, WhatsApp, whatever you use. But let's encourage each other through the promises of God because they can bring life and comfort to us. But the question remains. The question remains. And the question is not how many promises we know, how many promises from the Bible we have learned by heart, even though that's a good thing, the question remains how many of them we trust. Are we really relying on God's promises as we live life in every aspect of our life? on His promises in every aspect of our life, and our willingness, our capacity to obey Christ. Because as Christians, we have to be followers of Christ. And as a follower, you have to please your master. We are called to obey Christ above all. Our willingness and capacity to do this has to do with how much we rely on Him, has to do with how much we trust His character. How much do we really believe in Him? What do we really think about who God is? Our perspective on God, our understanding of God is key to unlocking the way of living life based on His promises. So yes, I could read many more promises from the Bible. There are so many. And I'll read a few more. But they will not change our life. They'll not have an impact in our daily routines, in the way we approach life, if we do not look at the bottom question. The bottom line question is this: how much do I really trust God? What do I really think of His character? Because sometimes when life is hard, or when we go through difficult personal challenges in our families or jobs or anything else, or when we go through some tough experiences, it's very hard for us to still say, yes, I still believe in the goodness of God. I still believe in His compassion. I still believe in His provision. When some circumstances in my life are hard, when some news I receive are bad, when some of the reports, when some of the emotions I feel are so difficult, but God is still good. Even when He allows us to go through pain and tests and difficult circumstances, God is still good. God is still good because when He allowed Christ to be on the cross, bearing the pain, bearing the price for our sins, for the consequences of our disobedience, God was still good. Yes, He was allowing something very difficult to happen to His Son, just like He allows difficult things to happen to us. But it doesn't mean He's not good. It doesn't mean that He changed His character. It doesn't mean that He canceled on His promises. It just means that He is working on our hearts. He is making us trust Him at a deeper level. It means that He is refining us. And the Bible says that if gold, which is of little value, is being tested through fire, how much more your faith is going to be tested? How much more your faith, which brings you salvation and glory, is going to come under the test of fire? So may God help us understand that we can rely on God, on His promises, even when we don't understand some of His ways. And this is what it means to lean on His understanding, on His wisdom, not on our own understanding. This is what we are being challenged to do. You know, because just like when it comes to discerning the promises that people make to us, whether we talk about friends or politicians or businesses, you know, when they make a promise to us, we turn to discern that based on the character that they have, based on our previous experience with them, based on their credibility with us, okay? Just like that, the way we trust the promises of God, the way we lean on Him, on what He says He will do in our life, has a lot to do on the trust we have, on the trust in His goodness, has a lot to do with how much we rely on Him, of our confidence in Him. What are we counting on? Who are we counting on? This is a very important question. And I encourage you, just as Psalmist David does, let's turn our gaze to Him, because when we do that, our help comes from Him, and our joy comes from above, not just from temporary circumstances. Hallelujah. There are so many promises in the Bible. In the last few weeks, I discovered more and more that the greatest promise that God makes to us is this: I will be with you always. I know sometimes we wish God would have promised to us that I'll always make things easy for you. I'll always make you popular. I'll always make you very happy with your circumstances. I will always make people like you. Nah, we cannot find those promises in the Bible. But what the Bible very clearly says is that God will be with us. It's the great promise that He made to Moses as he led and he delivered the people out of Egypt. At one time he said, God, you know, come with us, because God was disappointed. He was hurt with the disobedience of people, you know, and said, I will help you, but I will not come with you. Because he was grieved by the attitudes of the people. And Moses said, and it was a very wise choice, says, Lord, no, I'm not going to take this deal. It's a great deal, you know. It's basically the deal that God will bless you, he will help you, but he will not be with you. You know, your life will prosper, but you will not have the presence of God. And Moses said, no, I want you to come with me. If you don't come, I will go. I won't go. And God said, I will go. I will listen to your prayer. And we see this over and over again. We see that how God was with Daniel, even when he was thrown into the den of lions. We see it with Joseph when he was wrongly accused and he ended up in prison. And the Bible says, but God was there. We see it with Jesus. And, you know, just before he ascended to heaven, you know, Jesus said to his believers, after he gave the great commission of making disciples to the ends of the earth and going everywhere, he said, and I will be with you. You can find it in Matthew 28:20. Also, we can look, you know, in the book of John. And he said, I will not leave you orphans. I will not leave you alone. I will not. I will send a comforter. The Holy Spirit, which is God, will come and teach you and be with you. So that's a great reminder that God is with us always. Sometimes his presence doesn't feel real. Sometimes it acts like we are looking for him and he's playing hide and seek. I don't know how many of you played this game. It was one of my favorite games growing up, and not just as a kid, even later in life. I played with my uncles and my cousins and friends. And sometimes you don't see them. And some people hide so well that, you know, it was hard to find them. Where are they? I always remember I played with one of my cousins, and she knew the courtyard best. So she found the best hiding places. But we knew she was there. We knew Catalina was there somewhere. It's just like that with God. Sometimes he may not seem real. He may seem that he's hiding from us, that he's not giving us the wisdom, the help, the deliverance that we need. But he is there. We can rely on him because he promised that. And God is not like me. He's not like one of you. He doesn't under-deliver on his promises. He is present. Hallelujah. So that's very important for us to know. Even when something happens that we don't like, that it's painful, we don't understand, God is there. Even when our families or somebody we love, somebody close to us is going through something, you know, through medical problems, through pain, even as some people have lost friends and family during this pandemic, we can still count on this, that God is there, he is present, hallelujah. I cannot talk about God's promises without also making a mention of this. Some of the promises that God made are conditional. They are not conditional on our power. They are not conditioned on our ability to make sense of life. They are not conditioned on our ability to find all the answers. But some of the promises of God are conditioned on our willingness to cooperate with God, on our willingness to obey God. And there are many such promises that we find both, you know, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. We see at one time that God says, look, I put before you blessing or curse. You choose. You know, just like the saying goes, we can choose our actions. We can choose between the different options, but we cannot choose the consequences of the options, of the choices that we make. Once we make them, we will also receive the fruit of the seeds that we plant, of the seeds that we choose. You know, there are many promises in the Bible that come with a conditionality, that come with a duty on our part. But I want to read a couple of them that are dear to me. And I know that many of you will find comfort in such promises. Let's look for some in the New Testament. In Galatians, in the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 8, it says this: whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And then it says this, let us not become weary in doing good, for the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So there is a great promise, especially for leaders, especially for parents, especially for those who invest, you know, in people, in life, who make have a dream and follow it. Do not give up. You know, it's like you will reap a harvest of souls, a harvest of joy, a harvest of peace. But it says, if you do not give up. The if means a conditionality. So it means that we have to persevere. We cannot give up, even though it's hard, even though sometimes we've been disappointed, even though sometimes we failed, sometimes we have to forgive ourselves, and that can be even harder than forgiving others. You know, sometimes it's hard to continue to stay in faith and grateful and focused, you know, and continue to serve and continue to believe and continue to be connected with these people. Sometimes we just want to retreat. Sometimes we just want a way out. Sometimes we just wish that life would be over in a second because we are so out of here. And all of those things are understandable. All of those things are human feelings and human thoughts. But God says, do not give up. Because at the proper time, you will receive a harvest. You will collect on the benefits. You know, but it's important for us to do our part, to stick with it, to be obedient, to not give up. Hallelujah. Another promise that is very relevant and very helpful for us, not just during the pandemic, but in every season of life, we can find it in the book of Philippians. In Philippians chapter 4, we receive some very good pointers at the end of the chapter, at the end of the epistle. You know, it says for us not to be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Wow. You see the connection here with what we read at the beginning, Proverbs 3, where it says, do not lean on your own understanding, but lean on God. Because, you know, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, which is above, which is beyond our wildest dream, beyond our wildest expectations on our merit, but through grace, God gives us his peace, which is amazing. And this peace will guard our hearts and our minds, will keep us sane and will keep us focused, will keep us at bay from trouble, and will keep us in peace. However, if you read carefully what the passage says, we can have this if we are not anxious, but instead, in every situation, in every area of life, in every season of life, we come before God with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, that we praise God no matter what, that we count our blessings even as we go through tests, that we come before him even when sometimes our heart feels divided. And that's something that happens. As we do this, as we come before God with our thoughts, with our requests, with our prayer list, with our petitions and intercession, we also come with faith and gratefulness, giving thanks to God. And then something amazing happens. The peace of God. The peace of God comes and rules in our hearts, regardless of the circumstances. But again, it's something conditioned. We have to do something. We have to align ourselves with the promises of God. We have to tune out other voices and influences and tune in on the frequency of God, because that's what he promised. That's what he wants to do in our lives. But we have to cooperate. We have to be willing to follow his promises. You know, as it says in the book of in the Hebrews chapter 12, we look to him as the author and the finisher of our faith. And we can do this because we know he paid a price for us. You know, Jesus did not just come to talk to us about some philosophical principles. You know, he wasn't just a great debater. He wasn't just a great speaker. He was God. And as John the prophet described him, he was the Lamb of God who lifted up the sin of the world, who took away the burdens, who took away that impossibility for us to be reconnected with God. And he made it possible. through the cross, he was a bridge builder, bringing people back to God, reconciling us to our Creator, putting us back on the path that was messed up in the gardens when Adam and Eve chose to rather go with the temptation rather than obeying God. But Christ reconnected us. But the question remains, are we willing to rely on Him? As we live life, are we counting on Him? Or do we still prefer our ways? Are we more comfortable to be making decisions and living life based on what we know, based on what we understand, based on our own perspectives? Or are we willing to say, God, not my way, but your way? That's the perfect example that we see in Jesus, that he knew he would prefer not to go to the cross. He would prefer not to have to drink that cup of bitterness, that cup of anxiety and separation from the Father. But he said, not my will, thy will. That's obedience. That's what it means to understand the goodness of God, even when you don't understand his specific ways in your life. And I pray that all of us who listen to this will choose God, will choose his understanding and his worldview and his perspective instead of just relying on us. Yes, as I said earlier, build your capacity, build your wisdom, enlarge your education, learn more, build more relationships, but do not just count on those things. They are good, but they are not enough. They are necessary, but they are not sufficient. It's the goodness of God. It's the grace of God, this unmerited favor that we are giving through Christ that enables us to be connected to a higher power, to a higher perspective, and that is to live on the promises of God. And we can do that because Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for each and every one of us, he confirmed those promises to us. And in him, his promises are yes and amen, including the greatest promises of all, that he, God, is with us. Today, in the months of November, through the winter, in 2021, he is with us. We don't know what circumstances will look like in next few days or next few months. We don't know who will win elections in Romania, Moldova, America. We don't know the outcome of some of the processes and dynamics that are happening in our lives and in our cities. But we know something, that God is there. Just like the old saying goes, we don't know the future, but we know the one who holds our future. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are a good Father. Even when you allow circumstances and things that are not so good to happen to us, even when some questions and pressures lay heavy on our hearts, you are still a good Father. And you have proven that to us by the love that you demonstrated through your Son, Jesus Christ. And thank you, Jesus, for making these things real for us, making a way where there seemed to be no way. And you continue to do the same because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You still love us. You are still as committed to each and every one of us as you're committed to us when you died on the cross. But help us to be wise. Help us to do our part and believe your promises, to submit our will to your will, and seek your help, seek your wisdom, seek your refuge. And you will grant us your peace. You will grant us your wisdom. Not because we deserve it, not because we think we are better than others, but because you promise so. And what you promise is yes and amen. And you are a good Father. And you, Jesus, are a great Savior. And we give you all the glory and all the honor. And we trust you. We trust your wisdom. We trust your understanding. We trust your power. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Amen.